So we're holding Pei Dalet on with Aleph, beginning in the new Perek. We're now up to the ninth Perek of Yevamos. In a certain sense, even though Yevamos contains 16 Perakim, which means that we're only halfway through the Masechta, we're kind of through the bulk of the discussion about Yibum. So our Perek is going to be talking about Dinim, is going to be talking about various dinim of Yibum that we haven't really dealt with so far. And our first Mishnah over here, or series of Mishnayos, is going to deal with the with a summary of some of the dinim of Yibum that we've learned so far. After that, the rest of the Masechta is going to sporadically talk about Yibum here and there, but mostly you're going to have, there's a perek that talks about the dinim of Chalitza, but as far as the dinim of Yibum, for the most part, at this point, we're done, and we're only going to be talking about it sporadically from here on out. Which Tosfos says, that's why. So our Mishnah is going to summarize some of the dinim of Yibum that we've learned so far. Tosfos says the Mishnayos will often do that. It'll teach us various individual dinim, and then at the end, it'll give us a summary which helps fix it in our brains better. So the Mishnah says, Yesh mutaris levalehen v'asuras liyivmehen. There are some women when it comes to Yibum who are mutar to their husbands. They were perfectly allowed to marry their husbands, but they're also to their Yivamim. And therefore, now we're not talking about also, for example, where there's a chiyuv kares or something. Then we already learned at the beginning of the Masechta that then they're potter from Yibum or Chalitza. We're talking about over here where there's an isur lav preventing them from marrying the Yavam. We're there, as the Gemara is going to say over here, that we don't say in this case, therefore they can't do Yibum, instead they have to do Chalitza. Vice versa. You have cases where the woman is mutter to the Yavama, but she was also to her husband. In other words, she shouldn't have married her husband to begin with, but now that they did get married, then her husband died. Now, when it comes to Yibum, there's nothing preventing her from doing Yibum with the Yavam. In fact, Tosfos says that's another reason. So Tosfos gives two reasons what this Mishnah is doing here. One is what we just said, that the Tana sometimes will do that after having given us a bunch of individual details, then he summarizes them all in a handy way so that we can more easily remember them. The other reason Tosfos says is this particular part is the Chiddush. You would think that after all, the husband shouldn't have married her in the first place. And other Rishonim add, after all, the whole purpose of Yibum is Lahokim Zera, is Lahokim Shem Lachiv, to reestablish the brother's name, to have children who, in a certain sense, will be considered like the children of the brother who passed away. In this case, where they weren't supposed to be married in the first place and they weren't supposed to be having children together, you would think there's no need for that. And therefore, it's a Chiddush of the Mishnah that nevertheless they still do Yibum. Then you have, the Mishnah continues, mutaris la'elu la'elu. Then you have women who are mutar to both the husband and the yavam. And vasuris la'elu la'elu. And then you have ones that were also to the first husband and are now also to the yavama as well. So let's go through. Ve'elu mutaris la'alehen vasuris la'yivmehen. Which ones are mutar to their husband, but now they're also to the Yavam, again, not with an Isu Karis, but just with an Isu Lav, and therefore the result is, now, the fact that there's an Isu Lav doesn't prevent there from being a Zika. There's still a Zika, there's still a necessity for something in order for her to be able to marry out, therefore she's going to need Chalitza, not Yibum. Now, we said a few times in the Masechta, the concept, Kol She'ena Ola LeYibum, Ena Ola LeChalitza, but we said that whenever there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza is needed either. But we said that applies only in certain specific cases. This is not one of them, because again, Kiddushin are Toifis over here, because it's only an Isulah. So the Elam Mutaris LeValeh and Rasuris LeYivmehen. So examples of ones where they're mutter to their original husband, but they're also to the Yavam, and therefore Chalitza has to be done, not Yibum, would be, for example, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hediyat Shenosa as Almana. Suppose that a regular Kohen marries an Almana, the Yeshle Och Kohen Gadol. Now he dies and he leaves behind a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. So now she was mutter to the original husband because the original husband was a Kohen Hediyat. Kohen Hediyot is allowed to marry an almana, but now when he dies, then his brother, the Kohen Gadol, supposing that the only brother left is the brother of Kohen Gadol, he can't do Yibum with her because she's an Almana, and a Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara is going to ask, by the way, why we need that. I mean, just the fact that she was married to the first brother automatically makes her the other Almana. Why do we need to draw out the scenario where she was an Almana when the first Kohen married her? But in any case, we'll see that in the Gemara. But the point is that now, so she was perfectly mutter to her first husband. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry an Almana, but she's also to the Yavam because he's a Kohen Gadol. Therefore, he's going to need to do Chalitza with her. Actually, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin discusses that in the case of a Kohen Gadol, you have there's more specific rules about Chalitza and Yibum. Actually, no, what it says over there is he can do Chalitza, he just can't do Yibum because then he can't marry an Almana. But yeah. Another example of Mutaris Lavale and Vasuris Livmehen is Cholol Shanosak Shera. Suppose that you have two brothers, a Cholol and a regular Kohen, which you could have easily enough. Imagine, for example, that their father had two wives, one of whom is kosher and the other who is posel, or you could have even that the same woman herself had two sons, but she became posel in between, whatever the case. So you have one brother as a cholol, married a ksheira, which, as we're going to say in the Gemara, is perfectly fine. A kohen is not allowed to marry a cholola, but the flip side is not true. A kohenes, a bas kohen, is allowed to marry a cholol. So therefore, that was motoris levalein. The yeshle och kosher, but now he dies and he has a brother who's a kosher a kohen, so he can't do yibum with her because once she had relations with her husband the cholol, it makes her a cholola. This is an example, by the way, where a person can be a cholola even though the bia itself was not osur. She's perfectly allowed to marry the cholol, yet she becomes a cholola from it. A third example, Yisrael Shanasa Bas Yisrael, a regular Yisrael married a regular Bas Yisrael, Yeshle Och Mamzer, and he has a brother who's a Mamzer, where that Mamzer is not allowed to marry the Bas Yisrael. So again, though, since if he were to, then Kedushin would be Tophis. His brother's a Mamzer from the same father, obviously, yeah, because it has to be in order for there to be Chalitza or Yibum, it has to be that we're talking from the same father. But yeah, again, you could have the example where the father had relations, or where the father had a regular wife, and then he had another woman that he was not supposed to have relations with, and then he had a child with her. Or you could even have, it's the same woman, again, you can have, let's say she was his wife before, and then imagine, for example, she got divorced, married some, no, Machzor Gerushah say not, actually, because if he remarried her, then it's only an Issur Lav, and we said it's only an Issur Lav for him to remarry her after she married somebody else. No, but let's say, for example, imagine that Esav was married to her, then she got divorced, married Yaakov. And now, while she's married to Yaakov, then Esav has relations with her, then she's an Eish HaSish. Any child that he has with her is going to be a mamzer, but on the other hand, he also previously has a son with her when he was married to her. So then you could have two brothers that have the same father, they have the same father, Esav. Right, he just has just a Mazana with her, right. Right, but you could have a, yeah. I mean, by definition, obviously, to produce a mamzer, you can't have marriage, because it has to be a case where Kedushin aren't choices. But yeah, so let's say you have two brothers, one a kosher and one a mamzer, then again, so if the kosher was married to a ksheira, and now the surviving brother is a mamzer, so again, same thing, then she's mutter to her original husband, but she's also to the mamzer, therefore the mamzer is going to have to do chalitza.
It could be everything is kosher. She gets married, she thinks
we're going to talk about that in the next parak, actually. We're going to get extensively into that case where a woman remarries thinking that her husband is dead. So we'll get back to that. Okay. And a fourth case, mamzer shenasa mamzeres, vice versa, a mamzer marries a mamzeres, which he's allowed to do, v'yeshle och Yisrael, and his surviving brother is a regular Yisrael, where again, a regular Yisrael can't marry a mamzeres. So those are mutaris levalein v'asuris levmehen. So those four cases, they're mutar to their husbands, to their original husbands, but they're also to the Yavam. However, it's not an Isur Kores or Mrs. Bastin. It's only an Isur Lav. If they were to be over and do Yibum, then it would take effect. Therefore, there is a Zika, therefore they have to do Chalitza.
Is there any time when there's not a Zika and you don't even need Chalitza?
Yes, many times. That's we had at the beginning of the Masechta, for example, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, Poetry Soyasein. Yeah, remember. That's what the Meiri explains at the beginning of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is focused, and we're going to see in the Gemara, that our Mishnah is focusing specifically on Isurei Loisese, where there's only an Eset, where there's only a Loisese involved, nothing more serious than that. Next.
Oh, like when it's going to be the man's daughter.
When it's the man's daughter, right. When, for example, Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, then we had at the beginning of the Masechta, Poitras started saying, not only the daughter needs no chalitza or yibum, because again, the zika would be with her father, and there's no such zika, even her tzara is potter, and even tzara is tzara, and so on and so forth, yeah. Okay, the Mishnah continues. And then the examples of the ones the other way around, where they're mutter to the Yavama, but they were also to their husband. And again, Tosfa says that's one reason why the Mishnah gives all these scenarios, is because this Bava of the Mishnah, this section, is the real Chiddush. Even though they were also to their husbands, so you would say, why are we trying to reestablish the brother's name when he married her Be'isser in the first place? Nevertheless, the fact is, since it was a marriage that can be recognized, the halacha, in the sense that Kiddushin are Tosfas, and it doesn't, and the children from it are not mamzerim, then nevertheless, then there still is a requirement of chalitza or yibum. In that case, for Pashtos, the Yavam could even do yibum with her, because after all, she is completely mutter to him. So those examples would be Kohen Gadol shekiddush as almana. So let's say a Kohen Gadol was mekadesh an almana, which he's not allowed to do. So let's say he didn't even have relations with her yet. The Yeshle och Kohen Hedyet, he has a brother who's a Kohen Hedyet. Now, if the Kohen Gadol, now the Gemara is going to explain, if the Kohen Gadol had married the Almana before we use the expression Shenosa, in all the first four cases, we use the expression Shenosa. Now here, if the Kohen Gadol were to fully marry this woman and have relations with her, then in fact, he would make her a Chalala, then a regular Kohen wouldn't be allowed to marry her either. But because he didn't have relations with her, he was only Makadish her, so now she's an Almana. Okay, but she's an Almana twice over now, because from her first husband and from the Kohen Gadol. Fine, that doesn't prevent her brother, that doesn't prevent his brother, the Kohen Hedyet, from marrying her in Yibum, because after all, a regular Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana. There is, by the way, a point that we've touched on earlier in the Masech, that the Chacham Tzvi discusses the question about does the issue of katlonis, where a woman's husband's passed away, do we say that applies in the case of Yibum? In other words, that if a woman has had two husbands pass away, then maybe the same way as we say she shouldn't regularly get married to a third husband, because it might be that the same thing's going to happen to him. We talked about it before in Daf Samach Dalad. So does that apply also by Yibum? Now, our Mishnah is telling us a case where it does, where nevertheless they do Yibum. On the other hand, we did say in the Gemara over there that there are certain cases where the concept of katlonis doesn't apply. So you could equally well say that our Mishnah is talking about one of those specific cases, and maybe not in the general example. Besides which, anyway, our Mishnah could just be talking about the fact is she's mutter from the point of view of the dinim of Yibum. You get into the question of katlonis, the Mishnah is not really addressing that point. Okay, anyway, the Mishnah continues. Another example, kosher shenosa chalala. Suppose that a kohen kosher married a chalala, which he wasn't allowed to do, v'yeshle och chalal, now he dies without children, and he has a brother who's a chalal, who's perfectly allowed to marry a chalala. So that's another example where she's also to her husband, but mutter to the yavam. A third example, Yisrael shenosa mamzeres, v'yeshle och mamzer. Yisrael married a mamzeres, which he wasn't allowed to do, but he has a brother, he leaves behind a brother who's a mamzer, who can marry her. And the fourth example, Mamzer Shenasa Bas Yisrael, V'yeshle Och Yisrael. Mamzer marries a Bas Yisrael. He has a brother who's a regular Yisrael. All of those, Mutaris the Yivmein, Vasiris the Baalehen. So all of those are Mutar to the Yavam, but they were also to the husband. V'elu Asuris La'elu La'elu. Then here are some examples where they're also to both of them. So they were also to marry the first husband. And now that the husband died, they're also to do Yivum. So therefore, but nevertheless, there still is a Zika, and therefore they're going to have to do Chalitza. Kohen Gadol shenosa as almana. So now, suppose that a Kohen Gadol married an almana, meaning not just kiddushin like in the previous part, but nisuin, where now as soon as he has relations with her, having been mekadesh her, now he's mechalal her. V'yeshlo och Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyet. Now he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyet. Regardless, whether his brother is a Kohen Gadol, who would be also to her on multiple grounds because she's an Amona and she's a Halala, or just a regular Kohen who's also to her only on the grounds that she's a Halala, either way, he can't do Yibum with her because of that. Another example, Kohen shenasach kosher shenasach halala. If a Kohen kosher married a halala, v'yeshle och kosher, and he has another brother who's a kosher to Kohen, so now, same problem. In other words, she's a halala, therefore she's also to both of them. Yisrael shenasach mamzeres v'yeshle och Yisrael. Or Yisrael marries a mamzeres, and he has a brother who's a regular Yisrael. Same problem. Or mamzer shenasach bas Yisrael v'yeshle och mamzer, and he has a brother who's a mamzer. Asuris la'elu la'elu. So those are all the many examples where she's also to both of them. For those who are for those who still have the Mara Yavamis, there's a chart on page 92, chart 197, that summarizes these dinim that we just said. So those are any other woman is mutter to both the husband and the Yavama. Now, not literally every other woman. The Gemara is going to point out, actually, that there are scenarios that our Mishnah left out, other examples of Yisurei Lavim that our Mishnah left out that it could have mentioned. But in other words, out the normal case is that a woman is mutter to her husband and also mutter to the Yavama. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Shnius midivrei sofim. Now, we know that there's the concept of shnius. We learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chof or thereabouts that there are various women where the Torah would allow you to marry them, but midrabanan you can't. For example, min haTorah, a man's not allowed to marry his mother or his grandmother or his daughter or his granddaughter or to have relations with them. Midrabanan, it's also usur upward. Midrabanan, it's also usur upward one more generation. Or for example, Midaraisa, he's not allowed to marry his daughter-in-law. Midarabanan, he's not allowed to marry his granddaughter-in-law, etc. There's no Malkus, there's Machus Maritus for it. But now, suppose we have a case involving Shnius Midivere Seifu. So now, suppose Shnia Labal was Shnia LeYavam. Suppose that the woman was a Shnia to her original husband, but not to the Yavam. So let's take, for example, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say that these two brothers had different mothers. So one of them married, one of them married his mother's mother. So sorry, a mother's mother is Dirabanan. A mother would be Daraisa. A mother's mother is Dirabanan, as one of the Shnius. So we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, from different women. Reuven married his mother's mother, which he's also to do Midrabanan, but now he dies. That woman is now available to Shimon. She's not any kind of erva to him. She's not even a shnia to him. So then, asur labal and mutaris liyavam. Same thing. She's asur to the husband, but she's mutar to the yavam. Shnia liyavam will a shnia labal, and vice versa. If she's a shnia to the yavam and not to the husband, so the other way around, where Reuven married Shimon's grandmother, let's say. So the same problem. So Reuven was perfectly allowed to, but if Reuven dies, then Shimon now has a zika with his own grandmother, where midrabanan, he can't marry her. So asur l'yavam or teres l'baal. So she was mutter to the husband, but she's also to the yavam. She's going to need chalitza. Shnia l'zeh l'zeh. If she's a shnia to both of them, asur. Let's say they had the same mother. Asur l'zeh l'zeh. Then she's also to both of them. And in the case where she's a shnia, then the Mishnah digresses to talk about some dinim that apply as far as the normal benefits that she should have out of a marriage. Now, normally, a woman gets married, she has a ksuba, if you want scenarios drawn out of it here, of shnia labal, not the yavam, and vice versa, then you have more diagrams over here that illustrate that. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about, in general, if a man marries a shnia. Now, normally a woman gets married, she has a ksuba, and she has various tnoi ksuba. There's various conditions, which we're going to learn about in Masech to Ksubas, the next Masech after this one. We're going to talk about the various tnoi ksuba, the various sub-clauses, so to speak, of the ksuba, which the Chachamim set up. For example, many of them, you have a quid pro quo. You have that the husband is entitled to something from his wife in return, he's chayev something to her. For example, we're going to talk about over here that normally he's entitled to peiros from her nichsim alug. So we learned earlier in the Masechta that she can have nichsim alug, property which she retains ownership of, but the husband is entitled to peiros of it. And the Chachamim set up, he's entitled to those peiros in return for that if she gets captured, if she gets taken prisoner by Goyim, then he's going to spend money to get her out of there. So you have various tanoi ksuba like that. We'll learn about them in ksubas in detail, b'ezras Hashem. So now we're going to talk about when the woman is a shnia and she was also to him derabbanon. Then these various tanoi ksuba do not apply, as we're going to see. We're also going to see in the Gemara, which we'll learn tomorrow, b'ezras Hashem, what would be the logic. Why now we didn't say that applies when they're also to him with an isur lav. So for example, we're not going to say that these things that we're saying over here that she forfeits are going to apply, for example, if she was if she was in the first case, let's say an almona that married to an almona married to a kohen gadol, let's say. But we are saying that if she's a shnia, we'll see in the Gemara, we'll see on daf pehe, which we'll learn tomorrow, b'ezras Hashem, a couple of reasons why it should be so. So the Mishnah says, Ein la lo ksuba. So in the case of a shnia who was married, she does not get the ksuba. She's not entitled to the actual amount of the ksuba. Tosfos discusses elsewhere that maybe she is entitled maybe she is entitled to the Tosfos ksuba you often have. You know, there's a minimum amount of the ksuba, the 100 or 200 zuz respectively. And then you have, good morning, Melly. Then you have the Tosfos ksuba, the amount that the husband may voluntarily decide to add. So the Tosfos ksuba she may be entitled to, but not the regular amount of the ksuba for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Veloy Paris, she's not entitled to Paris, meaning, in other words, so if he ends up taking Paris from her nichsim belug, he does not have to pay her back. Now, even though in this case you don't have that quid pro quo that we said, namely that if she gets captured by Goyim, then he's not responsible to free her, or at least he's not responsible more than any other yid. I mean, there's a mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, but he doesn't have any particular mitzvah of it more than anybody else because he wasn't supposed to be married to her. Because Rashi explains, because the tnoi ksuba, the reason why she doesn't get a ksuba are because the ksuba is all based on the fact that they're going to be married. But here they weren't supposed to be married because she's a shnia to him. So the ksuba doesn't apply, and neither do the tnoi ksuba. And one of the tnoi ksuba is that he's going to redeem her. He's going to free her if she gets captured by Goyim, if she gets arrested. But here he's not responsible to, or at least not responsible more than anybody else. Nevertheless, if he takes the payrus, then he's not responsible to pay her back. Because the Gemara is going to explain. So here in our perek, the Gemara is not really going to deal with in detail why she doesn't have any of these tnoi ksuba. The Gemara is going to deal with the question, why do we apply these in the case of shnius and not in the case of the isurei lavim from earlier in our Mishnah? But the Gemara in our perek is not really going to deal with why she loses the ksuba and all the tnoi ksuba. That the Gemara is going to deal with more in the next perek, when we're going to talk about. The next perek is going to begin talking about a case where a woman remarried where a woman thought her husband was dead and remarried without checking carefully, and then it turns out her husband is alive. Then we apply all kinds of knosim to her, and among them are that she forfeits her ksuba and all her tnoi ksuba. So there the Gemara is going to discuss why indeed she forfeits all the tnoi ksuba. And the basic idea is going to be that tnoi ksuba, ksuba dummy, once she doesn't get the ksuba, then she doesn't get the tnoi ksuba either. They go hand in hand. Anyway, so the point is, therefore, so the chachamim penalize her that she's not getting the payrus, that she's not getting back the payrus that her husband ate, even though he shouldn't have eaten them. But if he did, then she doesn't have any recourse against it. Next, that's veloy payrus, veloy mezonis. She's not entitled to mezonis from him, that normally a husband is obligated to support his wife. That one even is daraisa sheik sus ba'ona. But we're going to learn in Ksuvus, that's a shame different opinions whether she'er or oino refers to food. But anyway, so he has a responsibility to support his wife, but he or not, because again, they're not supposed to be married in the first place, and the chachamim are going to force them to get divorced. So therefore, she's not entitled to mezonis. Rashi explains it means, first of all, it means that if they're still married, then she's not entitled to mezonis, because as soon as possible, we're going to force them to get divorced. And therefore, during that time, she's not entitled to mezonis because it's an illegal marriage in the first place. Rashi adds that even if, let's say, her husband went out of town, where normally the din would be that if she borrowed money from somebody, then in order to support herself. So let's say her husband left the house. Let's say the husband left her without any food, without any means of support. So now let's say she borrowed money from somebody to support herself. So now the din is when the husband comes back, he has to pay. But in this case, in this case, where there's shnius, where she's a shnia to him, then he's not responsible to pay back that loan. Then in other words, she's on the hook for it. Because again, they weren't supposed to be married in the first place. Rashi draws a distinction, by the way. The Gemara tells us near the end of Ksubas that if she didn't borrow money, if somebody voluntarily gave her money, then you have a machloikas in the Mishnah. Between Admon, I think, and the Chachamim, whether the husband is responsible to pay back or not. And the halacha is he's not. But that's where somebody else did it voluntarily. But where she borrowed money, then yes, the husband normally would be required to pay back. But here, because she was a shnia, then he's not. That's what it means that ein lamazonus. Veloy blois. She's also not entitled to blois, which means, blois means worn out. So Rashi explains, let's say she brought in begodim or other kinds of things into the marriage. And now over time, those are worn out. So she doesn't take them. So normally she would be entitled to take those back when the marriage is over. But here again, the Chachamim penalized her because the marriage shouldn't have been a marriage, and therefore she's not entitled to that. Now, there are actually two different kinds of blois. Sometimes when we talk about blois, the Tosfos talks about on Daf Pehe that there are actually two different kinds of blois when we talk about the dinim of Ksuba and Tnoi Ksuba and whatever. One is what Rashi is describing, where you have the object still exists, but it's worn out. The other kind of blois. Those kind are usually called in halacha bloiseha kayom, the blois that still exist. So Tosfos says later on Daf Pehe that not necessarily is that what we're talking about over here. We may actually be talking about only blois as in things that wore out and are gone. Where we're talking about as nichsit son barzel, usually the husband would be required to reimburse her for them, because that's the rule. Nichsit son barzel, the husband gets the reshus of that. He owns them, but he has to repay her. He has to compensate her for what they were worth, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. But here those things, the nichsit son barzel, are gone. They got worn out. And they're gone, then he doesn't have to repay her for that. But Tosfos says later on, maybe Bloisa Kayomin, maybe she would be entitled to, unlike what Rashi is saying over here, because those actually still exist. They're just worn out. In any case, again, this Shnia, when the marriage is over, when her husband dies or divorces her, then she's not entitled to Blois, whichever kind of Blois, Rashi versus Tosfos. However, Vavlad kosher in all those cases, however, in this case, the Shnia, the child is kosher, even though they weren't allowed to get married, and the Shnias are a Gzeira Drabanan, so that you don't end up marrying an Erva. Nevertheless, we don't make the children a Mamzer Drabanan. They're completely kosher. On the other hand, the Koifin Oisilahitzi, we do force the husband to divorce her, because after all, they weren't supposed to be married in the first place because she's a Shnia to him. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, Almona l'Kohen Gadol, if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almona, Grusha v'chalutza l'Kohen Hadyet, or if a Kohen Hadyet marries a Grusha v'chalutza, or any other woman that he's also to, Mamzeres in Nesina l'Yisrael, or Yisrael marries a Mamzeres or a Nesina, where he's also to, Bas Yisrael l'Nosir or a Mamzer, all of them, Yesh l'Hen Ksuba, all of them are entitled to a Ksuba, as we'll see in the Gemara. We'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, a couple of reasons why that should be. Why would we say that the Shnias are more serious, which are only an Isur Drabanan? Why are those more serious than these Isurei Lavin that we're talking about? So we'll see that in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara starts with, my Iriya Detoni Nosa, in the first case of our Mishnah, we said in the first section of the Mishnah about Mutoris the Vale and Rasudos the Yevneya. So we said, for example, a Kohen Hadyet marries an Almana, marries, in other words, implies that he has relations with her, and then he dies and he leaves a brother, a Kohen Gadol. So we said the brother, the Kohen Gadol, is not able to do Yibum with her because she'd be also to him. So she was Mutter to the husband, but she's also to the Yavam, therefore he needs to do Chalitza with her. So my Iri Yatoni Nosa. Why does the Mishnah have to mention that he married her? Listening Kiddush, it's enough for it to say that he was Makadosh her, because after all, just the fact that he's Makadosh her already makes her also to his brother. Now, you're going to argue that maybe the reason why the Mishnah mentions Nasa is because then you have an Esse and a Loisese, because after all, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah. He's a Loisese to not marry an Amana. He also has an Esse to marry a Basula. If his brother had relations with her, then she's not a basula anymore. So now you'd say there's an esse and a loisese blocking the yibum, and we know that the esse of yibum can't override the esse and the loisese. But you would say av kiddush osi esse. The esse would be that a kohen gadol has to marry a basula. The loisese says he can't marry an amana. So if she was married, fully married to his brother, then there's both. You could argue that if she was only niskadish to his brother and they hadn't yet had relations, let's say she was an amana also from kiddushin from her first husband, then you would say avo kiddush. You would argue that if the brother was only mekadisher, you could argue osi esse v'docha loisese. Maybe the esse of yibum would override the loisese, and therefore maybe that's why the Mishnah doesn't say that. You can't say that, says the Gemara. After all, the entire Perek, or all these Mishnayos that we have over here, one after the other, are all talking about cases where there's an Isser Loiseseh, and against it you have the Isser of, and against it you have the Mitzvah of Esser of Yibum, and yet the esse doesn't override the loisese. So Rashi explains, for example, let's say we have later in the Mishnah, a mamzeres was married to a Yisrael, or a halala was married to a Kohen, where those are only an isulav. So Tosfos points out that actually in the case of a Kohen, you do also have an isur esse, because you also have kedoshim yule lekeim, which is an esse that they have to marry who they're supposed to. So Tosfos says, okay, let's stick with the mamzeres, for example. You have several places throughout our Mishnah where it mentions a mamzer marrying a bas Yisrael, a bas Yisrael marrying a mamzeres, whatever. Where there's only an isur lav, there's no isur esse, there's no esse, and yet we say that the esse of yibum is not doicha the lois esse of mamzeres. What were you going to say? It's certainly possible that Rashi and Tosfos count the mitzvahs differently. I'm pretty sure that it says elsewhere that there's some place where it says that Kedoshim Yula the KM is a mitzvah saseh, so therefore they can't necessarily be arguing on that. But anyway, maybe. Anyway, the point is that we see that over here the esse is not doicha the lois esse. Now, an interesting point, by the way, is that actually earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about this, we said that actually on a Daraisa level, it might be good for the Loisese. However, we said, Drabbanon, we don't allow it to, because we said, first of all, the main reason we said, Zera Bia Shnia Otu Bia Rishona. Because we said, if we allow him to do the first Bia, which with that he's accomplishing the Mitzvah of Yibum, he may come to do a second Bia, where there he's not accomplishing the Mitzvah of Yibum anymore, and he's being over on the Loisese. Because every time Yisrael has relations with a Mamzeres or any of these other cases, then they're over on a Loisese. So from that Gemara, it comes out that the Issur is only Drabbanon. Rashi's phrasing over here, and the Gemara's phrasing, seems to imply that we're dealing with it because of the issue of Esse of Loisese. In other words, we're talking that on a Daraisa level, we would say that the Esse is not Dercha the Loisese. So we'll go further on in the Gemara. We're going to talk about that, and further on in the Gemara, we're going to touch on something that relates to that. We're going to talk about a question that Tosfos has on a later stage of the Gemara, which are the Keren Ora explains that the Tosfos's question, that Rashi is also bothered by the question, and therefore that's how, and therefore that leads him to say that we're talking about that that here we're talking about the on the level where there's an Issur Daraisa. Because in other words, forget about the fact that Bia Shnia, just the Bia Rishona alone, you would say that in this case, the Esse is not Docha the Lois Esse, because after all, another reason the Gemara points out over there is because there's another way of accomplishing the Esse, namely to do Chalitza. Then you're also accomplishing the Esse without being over on the Lois Esse. Okay, so anyway, so the question is, why does the Mishnah in the first part have to mention Nasa rather than Kiddush? And Tosfos points out, by the way, now usually the Gemara wouldn't bother with that kind of deal, but here, since in the middle of the Mishnah, in the case of Motoris the Man, Basuris the Valayan, the first case we had was Kohen Gadol Kiddush as Almana. So the Gemara is wondering why over there it says Kiddush, whereas in the first part, why does it use Nasa? Anyway, so the Gemara says, Mishum de Kaboy Lemisti, Sefer Kohen Gadol, Shenasa as Almana. The reason is because in the Sefer, in the third section of the Mishnah, when we talk about the ones who are also to both, there it has to say a Kohen Gadol shenosa samana and davka nosa v'shavya chalala, and there it has to be nosa because thereby, by having relations with her, he makes her a chalala. Avokiddush shavile, had the Kohen Gadol only been mekaddish to samana, yes, he was also to be mekaddish her, but if he dies at that point, then there's no issur on his brother to marry her. She's not yet a chalala until they actually have relations. So there it had to use the word nosa. Wow. Therefore, tonanam yureisha nosa. So therefore, in the reisha also it uses the word nosa. So the Gemara says, so what's the logic? For ad toni mishum sefer, listening mishum mitziyosa. On the other hand, if you're saying that in the reisha it could have gone either way, and you're saying in the sefer it has to say nosa, but on the other hand, you could say then why don't you stick to the format of the mitziyosa, of the middle part of the middle part of the Mishnah, where it started, kohen gadol shekiddush hasamana v'yesh le'och kohen hedyah. We're there again, necessarily, we're there, it has to definitely be Kiddush. So what's the logic that you would say that the Reisha follows the Sefer? Let the Reisha follow the Mitziyosa, the middle clause of the Mishnah, about Asuris Levalein, about Mutoris Levalein, about Asuris Levalein. We're there, it starts out with the Shekiddush, and then the first part of the Mishnah could use Shekiddush to go with that. So the reason is not because we're looking all the way ahead to the Sefer, but rather because we look at its partner in the beginning of the Mishnah. In other words, usually we talk about those Reisha, Mitziyosa, and Sefer, the beginning, the end, and the middle of the Mishnah. But here, within each one of those, we have several cases. Within the Reisha, we have four cases. So the Gemara nicknames the other cases in the first section, the Gemara nicknames them Bas Buksa, which are, essentially it means its neighbor. In a certain sense, it might be, I didn't actually see an explanation of why it's called Bas Buksa, but there is a word in the Gemara elsewhere where it talks about in the Dinim of Treifus, for example, you have Buka de Atma, you have the joint of the thigh that gets dislocated in an animal, where there you have a ball and socket joint where the end of the thigh bone fits into a hollow in the animal's pelvis over there. So there you have, in other words, those two things are always meant to go together. The hip joint is always meant to stay together. So maybe in that sense, the Gemara is calling like two things that stick together. Bas buksa, like this is the ball to that one's joint. They go together. Anyway, the point is the second case of within the reisha itself. After we talk about kohen gadol shenasa salmana, further on the next one we talk about is cholol shenasa ksheira. Where again, time of the Nosa, we're there. What would make her also to his brother, the Kohen, only if he actually married her and had relations with her? Because then the Shavya Chalala, the first time he has relations with her, he makes her a Chalala. Avokidish Shavya, but had the Chalala only been the Kaddish her, then she would be Mutter to his brother because she's not yet a Chalala. Mishamachi, Katoni Nosa, that is why. So already in the second out of the 12 cases in our Mishnah, in the second subsection of the first part, it has to use the word, Rashi says that Bas Buksa means the adjoining halacha. Rashi says a Shnuya Betzida. I'm explaining why such a thing would be called Bas Buksa. Right. Anyway, so right there, the second case within the Reisha, which is attached to the first part, it has to say Cholol Shenasa Ksheira. It can't say Cholol Shekiddush Ksheira, because in fact, Kiddush would be wrong. If he's Mekaddish her, then there's no problem of his brother, the Kohen, marrying her. Mishumachik, Katoni Nosa, that is why in that case it had to say Nosa, and therefore to keep things parallel, in the first case of the Reisha, it also used the word Shenasa, even though it's true the same din would apply even if he was only Mekadosh. Okay, now the Gemara asks to my Irya to Katoni Almana. Now, in the first case of the Mishnah, the case was that the Kohen Kedyat married an Almana, and now we said his brother is a Kohen Gadol. So we said the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibum with her because she's an Almana. But why do we need to mention Almana? Listening to Basula, it could be talking about where she was a Basula when they got married to begin with. Because after all, she's still an Almana now, whether from Kiddushin or whether from Nisuin, she's an Almana, and a Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana. So it doesn't matter what her status was when the first brother married her. Either way, now she's an Almana. By definition, in order for there to be Yibum, she has to be an Almana. So listening to Basula. So the Mishnah could just as well have said, where a Kohen had yet married a Basula. But now he has a brother, a Kohen Gadol, and therefore she's an Almana. V'chi tema kasavra haitanin isurin adishonim akilin. So you're going to answer that maybe our Tana holds that you look at her status when she was first married. In other words, we learned about this concept of Misurin and Rishonim Akilim earlier in the Masechta. We said, we had two different opinions. We said, when we look at the status as far as Yibum or Chalitza, do we focus on what the status was? Do we focus on how things were during her first marriage? Or do we focus on how things were when her first husband died? Now, in our case, when the brother married her, if we say Nisurin and Rishonim Apilim, then she should be mutter in Yibum to the Kohen Gadol, because after all, at the time she was a Basula, and the Kohen Gadol was allowed to marry a Basula. On the other hand, if we say that Misa Mapelas, if we're going to say we focus on the status when the first husband died, at that point she's an Amana. So if you're going to say that, you're going to say that, therefore the Tana might hold Misurin and Rishonim Apilim, and therefore we have to draw out a scenario where she was also to begin with, she was already also to the Kohen Gadol when the first brother married her, because she was an Amona. The problem with that is, Harei Chol, Shenasa Ksheira. On the other hand, again, Mishnah had talked about a case where a Cholol marries a Ksheira, and we said that the brother who was a Kosher Kohen can't do Yibum with her, because now once she and the Cholol had relations, she becomes a Cholola. Now, we don't say that we follow Nisurin or Shonim Apilim. Because again, if the Cholol was only Makadish her, then we said she's not also to his brother, the Kohen, only when he marries her. If we were to say Nisurin or Shonim Apilim, then by that logic also, she would be Mutter to the next brother, the Kohen. So again, the question is, why is it saying that the Kohen had yet married an Amona? Now, Tosfos wonders about that. The whole Nisurin and Rishonim Apilim that we discussed earlier in the Masechta was where Nisurin and Rishonim Apilim, where that would create a Chumrah. For example, we had the case, for example, earlier in the Masechta, where, for example, the husband one of the brothers had married her, then what did we have over there? We had a case over there where there's two or more brothers. There's several brothers, let's say. So we said that one of them, let's say, one of them divorced his wife. Then the other one, what do we have over there? You had a few brothers over there. One of them was married to an unrelated woman. The other ones were related to sisters. So let's say, for example, the one who's married to the unrelated woman, let's say he married her, then divorced her, then he died. So now at the time of Nefila, she's not a tzara. But nevertheless, we would say, if we said Nisurin or Rishonim Apilim, then we would say that at the time earlier when she was married, then she was a tzara of an erva, because we had the example over there where one of the brothers who was married to one of the sisters died, and the brother who was married to an unrelated woman did yibum with her. Then we said that his wife is a tzaras erva, and therefore that now if he dies, then that wife doesn't do yibum with the other brother because she's a tzaras erva. And so we said that even if he divorced her, nevertheless we would say nisurin or rishonim apilim, the fact that at one point she was a tzaras erva makes her means that there's no yibum. So Tosfos says nisurin or rishonim apilim when it's the chumra. We would never find it lakula over here. We would say because she was mutter to begin with, because she was mutter to the Kohen Gadol to begin with when she first did kiddushin with the other brother, then therefore she should remain mutter afterwards. It doesn't work that way. So Tosfos says, okay, anyway, the Gemara is bringing the question from Cholol Shenasa Ksheira. So obviously we can't hold Nisurin or Rishonim Apilim anyway. But here's where the Keren Ora says that Rashi was also bothered by this question, and that was why earlier Rashi explained that we're talking about on Isser, that we're talking about on a Doraisa level, the fact that Esser is not Dochaloisa Esser, because if it was just a matter of the reasons that we said, because Chalitza is possible instead of Yibum, or because we goes a Biashnia or to Biarishona, then all of them, then none of those wouldn't necessarily apply in this case. And nevertheless, we still say it's also showing, therefore, that it must be that there's an issue Doraisa of that in this case, we don't allow the Esser of Yibum to be Dochaloisa Esser of a Mamzer or an Amon or a Kohen God, or etc. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so again, the question is then, why in the beginning of the Mishnah do we have to draw out the scenario where the Kohen Hedyot married an Almona, where she was already an Almona when he married her, when the fact is, even if she was a Basula at the time, the fact that he had relations with her passels her from his brother, the Kohen Gadol, because she's not a Basula anymore, and therefore we should just mention that case. So the answer is Havadim Mishram Seifa. There's no question. We have to use the word almana in order to be parallel with the sefer mishum de kaboy. The mishnah sefer kohen gadol should not say almana, because in the sefer of the mishnah we say a kohen gadol who marries an almana v'yeshle och kohen gadol a kohen hadyet, whereas a brother is a kohen gadol or a kohen hadyet. We're davka almana, and there again that scenario requires her to have been an almana in the first place. Av besula chazulei. Had she been a basula, then she would be. Then, after all, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry her. So therefore, so fine. She'd be also to his brother a Kohen Gadol because she's not a basula anymore after he had Nisuin with her. But she'd be mutter to a Kohen Hedyot. And the Mishnah wanted to delineate for us a case which is also to his brother as well, even though his brother is a Kohen Hedyot. That requires her to have been. That requires her to become a Chalola, and for her to become a Chalola means she had to be an Almana when the Kohen Gadol married her. Mishumachi katani amo ab basula chazulei. Had she been a basula, she would have been suitable for the Kohen Gadol, and now the Kohen Gadol marrying her and have relations with her wouldn't make her a Chalola. She would be mutter to a Kohen Hedyot afterwards because she's not a Chalola, and the fact that she's an Almana doesn't matter. A regular Kohen can marry an Almana. Mishumachi katani amana. Therefore, in the Sefer, it had to say Almana, and therefore in the Reisha, it also mentioned Almana to keep parallelism with it. But you're right, in the Reisha, it could just as well have mentioned that the original Kohen Hedyot married a Basula, and the same rule would apply because she's a Basula, because even though she was a Basula at the time, since afterwards there was Nisuin, and now she's not a Basula, then she's also to the Yavam, the Kohen Gadol. So now the Gemara starts. So now the next piece of Gemara starts off kind of in an odd way. The Gemara begins maskiflor a papa, that a papa is challenging that. Now usually that would be a continuation of the previous discussion. Here Rabbeinu Avraham min Ahor points out, in a certain sense, it's a new discussion. It's just going to relate back to what it's going to relate back to our Mishnah. So maskiflor a papa. So the papa challenges as follows. Now, we learned in the previous parak about the dinim, about a mitzvi and an adoimi ger are restricted whom among the Jewish people they're allowed to marry for a couple of generations. We said the first two generations are restricted in who they can marry. The third one can marry a bas Yisrael. The third one are mutter lovei bakol. So now we discussed in the previous parak the question of what happens if a mitzvi and a mitzvis of different generations get married. So we said that Rav Dimi had said over there that you go according to her. So we said that if a second generation Mitzri Ger marries a first generation Mitzri Giyoris, then the child is considered a Sheni rather than a Shlishi. Even though his father is a Sheni, that should make him a Shlishi, but his mother is a Rishona, that makes him a Shnia. So now, Maskif for a Papa. So now the Papa challenges, Im Issa Laha, Dechi Asir Rav Dimi Amr Rav Yechon. If it's correct, if the halacha is like what Rav Dimi said when he came from Eretz Yisrael, that he said in the name of Rav Yechon, Mitzri Sheni Shenosa Mitzri Shoshona, but not Sheni Abi, that if a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Shoshona, the child is going to be considered a Mitzri Sheni, and therefore he himself is still also Lavei Makahol, only his children will be, well then, Lisni Nami, then the Mishnah could have given us another example of a woman who is mutter to the husband and also to the Yavam, or vice versa, or also to both of them, etc. The Mishnah could have told us a Lisni Nami Mitzri Sheni should also stay Mitzvias. Imagine you have a Mitzri Sheni married two different Mitzvias Giyoris. One was a first generation Mitzvias, the other one was a second generation. So here we also have more diagrams to illustrate this. We have in Mara Yevamos on page 94, we have three diagrams to illustrate the different phases of what we're talking about over here in the Gemara. So first of all, the first diagram, 200, illustrates the basic din that Rav Dimi had said, that if you have a mitzri sheni, you have rishon in the diagram over there, a goy, a mitzri who became a ger, he has a son who's a sheni, but that sheni marries a rishona. The din is that ben, that son, we're saying is considered a sheni, just like his father. Even though his father was a sheni, but he's also a sheni because his mother was a rishona. So now, Rav Papa is saying, consider it like this. Imagine that you have a mitzri sheni, marries two different women. One is a rishona, one is a shnia. Now he has children with each one of them. So now, respectively, those children are the one from the Rishona is a Sheni, the one from the Shnia is a Shlichi, and those two have the same father. So now consider. So now let's consider. If they married the way they're supposed to, meaning that if the Shlichi, who's already mutter to marry a Bas Yisrael, actually married a Bas Yisrael, and the Sheni, who's still also in a Bas Yisrael, married a Shnia, then you have an example, Motoris Levale and Basuris Levan. Then you have an example. So for example, the Sheni's wife, the Shnia, is mutter to her husband, because he was a Sheni, but he's also to the Shlishi, because the Shlishi already is Yavei Levital Hashem, he's considered like a regular Yid, and therefore he's also to marry a Mitzvah Shnia, and vice versa. The Sheni is also to marry an Israelis, because he's still a Sheni. So there you have an example where they're mutter to their husband, to their respective husband, but they're also to their Yevamos. Tosfos actually discusses maybe not necessarily, maybe not both of them are also to the are also to each other, because we discussed in the previous pedek the question, kahal gerim ikri kahal or loy ikri kahal, do we say that gerim are considered part of Kal Hashem? If we say that they're not, and the halacha is that they're not, then the Shlishi might be able to marry the Shnia, but the Sheni would not be able to marry the Israelis. But at least you have one example where the Israelis is also to marry the Sheni, but she was mutter to marry the Shlishi. So there you have an example. She was mutter to her husband, but also to her Yavam. So Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that. But anyway.
This is the girl.
Yeah.
And she can marry who?
So we're talking, Israelis was married to the Shlishi. Now, he has a brother who's a Sheni. He has a brother.
This is a Mitzri.
This is a Mitzri Shlishi. This is a Mitzri Sheni. Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's this girl. Yeah. Okay. And they're brothers.
So now, if the Shlishi dies. So now, if the Shlishi dies, the Sheni can't do Yibum with the Israelis because he's a Sheni. He can't marry the Israelis. So if we said not like Rav Dimi, if we said that we go according to the father, then you never have an example where a man's two sons could be a Sheni or a Shlishi. So you would never have such a scenario in the first place. But if you follow Rav Dimi, that you go according to the mother, and therefore you can have two brothers, two paternal brothers, one of whom is a Sheni and one of whom has a Shlishi, then don't you have such an example? Further, continues Rav Papa, the E Epoch Venasiv, what happens if they flipped around and each one married a woman who's also to him? So vice versa, the next diagram, the Mitzri Shlishi married a Mitzri Shnia, which he's also to. Okay, Tosfos says again, maybe he's not necessarily also to, but let's focus on the Sheni married Israelis, where he's definitely also to. And then you have Mutaris the Yevnehen, Basiris Levale, and then it's the other way around. They'd be Mutar to the Yevamim. The Israelis, once her husband, the Sheni, dies, can certainly marry the Shlishi. A Shlishi is allowed to marry Israelis. Similarly, the Sheni can marry a Shnia, but each one of them was also in her original marriage. And you could have, furthermore, Mutaris La'elu La'elu Gioris, you could have where the women are mutter to both of them, namely if both the Sheni and the Shlishi married Gioris, let's say other Gioris, we're not talking about Gioris Mitzvahs, for example, because then you have the question that Tosfos gets into of whether a Mitzvah Shlishi is allowed to marry a Mitzvah, is allowed to marry a Mitzvah Gioris. But let's say they married Gioris from other nations, which they're certainly allowed to. So then you have, they'd be mutter to both of them, they'd be mutter to the husband and to the Yavam, and Asuras La'elu La'elu Ilonius. And as far as the case of where they're also to each other, there you can have, forget about Gerim, there you have a case where you have two Ilonis who are one of them, or both of them, are married to women who are Ilonis. So we are still talking about the case involving a ger. So let's say, for example, that one of that, let's say this Shani married an Ilonis. So she's also to him because she may be an Ilonis, but she's still a Yisraelis. A Shani, Mitzri Shani is not allowed to marry any Bas Yisrael, including an Ilonis. But if she dies, then she's also to the Yavam. The Yavam is Mitzri Shlishi, and he can marry, but he can't because she's an Ilonis, and Yibum doesn't apply to an Ilonis. So if we assume Rav Dimi's din, then you have all four possibilities. And Ilonis is a woman we discussed in the previous.
She's 20, you don't know she's an Ilonis, so you do it or what?
No, so before she's 20, if she develops Simone Ilonis, we ignore them. Once she develops Simone Ilonis after reaching 20 or close to 20 or whatever, then we consider an Ilonis. But the point is, so let's say
she got married to her behalf.
It doesn't matter. No. We're talking the Shani. Hold on. The Mitzri Shani married her, it was also because she's a Bas Yisrael. Forget about is she an Ilonis or not. He has no business marrying a Bas Yisrael. He may not have known yet. That's a different matter. Now, when he dies, then she's also to the brother, not because of the problem of Mitzris, but because of the problem that an Ilonis is not subject to Yibum. And therefore, if you were to marry her, he's marrying his brother's wife. And the brother is a Shlishi, yeah. So if Rav Dimi's din is correct, why is none of this mentioned in the Mishnah? And the answer is the Gemara says Tana v'Shayer. Okay, you could say the Mishnah left out cases, but again, you have the usual question: my Shire to hide Shire. What else did it leave out? If the Mishnah only left out one case, then it means the Tana doesn't hold of it. If he leaves out two or more, then you could say, okay, he's not listing every possible case. The answer is Shir Psura Daka. The answer is the Mishnah also left out the case of a Ptsur Daka, where again, you could have all four possibilities. You could have a case of a Ptsur Daka who marries Yisraelis, which is also to him, which is Mutter to the Yavama. The vice versa, you can have a Kosher marries a Kshera and he has a brother who's a Ptsur Daka, whereas we learned in the previous paragraph, a Ptsur Daka can do Chalitza or Yibum. He is subject to them because, as Rabbi Akiva said, he had a Shasa Kosher, but he's also true because he's a Ptsur Daka. So then she's mutter to the husband, but also to the yavam. You could have two brothers psur daka, which is mutter to both of them, and you could have if both of them are psur daka, she's also to both of them, and you could have where if he married a giyotis, if a psur daka marries a giyotis, and he has a brother who's also psur daka, and she's mutter to both of them. So you could also draw these cases out with psur daka. You could draw out all four of these cases, and yet the Mishnah didn't list it. By the way, Tosfos points out that you wouldn't say that if she's also to her husband, all the more so she's also to her yavam, because Tosfos says such a thing would only apply where there was a change in the woman's status. So, for example, in the first perek of our Masechta, we learned about, let's say, a machzor grushosai, where the first husband remarries her after she was married to somebody else in between, where he's also to do that. And we said that if he dies, his brother does not do yibum with her, because if we make a kabel chomer, if she's also to her husband, how much more so she's also to her yavam. But here we wouldn't say that, because the change of status was in him, that he became a psur daka, not in her. Anyway, so therefore, you see, if it left out psur daka, then it can also leave out these cases involving Mitzri Shane. The Gemara says, "Imishum Ptsur Daka Lav Shiura." That's not considered a valid shiur. You can't say that the Tana could have listed that and left that out. There's a reason the Tana left that out. Da Tonele Chayv Elavin. After all, the Mishnah described Chayv Elavin and a Ptsur Daka as another Chayv Elav. So he didn't have to list every Chayv Elav. But the question is, in the case of a Mitzri, in the case of a Mitzri Sheni, we're not talking about a Lav. We're talking about an Eser. So why did the Mishnah leave it out? If not, then because the Mishnah doesn't hold of it. So that would contradict Rav Dimi. The answer is, when it says, "Otu chayvi lavin mile katoni v'hodr toni," so what? It says chayvi lavin in general, but then it starts listing them out in detail. V'katoni koin hadit shenos almona v'cholol shenos akshera. It does mention some chayvi lavin. So therefore, you could say that the Mishnah could have listed more chayvi lavin, one of them being psur daka, and it didn't, showing therefore that the Mishnah is not listing every possible case. But the Gemara says, no, because the case of the cholo that married a ksheira, there's a chiddush in it that the Mishnah had to mention it. Lashm inin kidur of Yehuda. The Mishnah wants to tell us, like what Rav Yehuda says, kidur of Yehuda amarab, the omer of Yehuda amarab, loyhuzru ksheiras li nosil psulim. Women who are kosher have no issur to marry psulim. A koyan is not allowed to marry a cholo, but the flip side is not true. A kohenes can marry a cholo. So our Mishnah wanted to tell us that when she married the cholol, it was completely mutter. So therefore, so the Mishnah mentioned that case to tell us that did not because the Mishnah is some listing cases of lava.
It's listing cases, and it didn't list that case. Right. That case must be not that hold.
Right.
So it does hold.
Like exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So okay. So the Gemara says, so what? V'akatani cholol shenasa ksheira v'yisrael shenasa bas yisrael v'yashlei och mamzer. So what? But the Mishnah goes on to describe a cholol that marries a ksheira, which fine, we can say there's a chiddush in that, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but it also mentions a Yisrael who married a bas Yisrael and has another brother who's an, and has another brother who's a mamzer, where there you have, there you're also talking about an isur lav. So that you see that the Mishnah is listing isur lav. So it's not just summarizing and saying all isur lav, it's listing out certain specific ones. So now we can say it could have listed suadaka as well. And if it didn't, then that can be called ton of a shire. But the Gemara says, no, honami lo mihada misni. That's also not just repeating for stamazoi. There's a reason for it. Dashmin and lav she'enim b'shava b'kol, b'komashmalon lav ha'shava b'kol. Because the Mishnah wants to tell us about lavim that don't apply equally to all Jewish people, namely ones that are specific to Kohenim. And the Mishnah also wants us to know that the same din applies to lavim that apply to the whole Jewish people, namely Yisroel with a mamzer, or Yisroel with a mamzeres, rather. So you could say that the Mishnah had a specific reason to mention that. So you could say that every one of the lavim the Mishnah is mentioning, there's a specific reason to mention. It doesn't show that the Mishnah is just mentioning lavim, just stamazoi. So now we're back to then in that case, then the fact that it didn't mention suadaka would be because there's no chiddush in it. Once we know that it applies to lavim, then of course it applies to that one as well. Now if it left out the yisur esa, there must be a reason for it, namely that the Tana doesn't hold of it. So the Gemara says, fine, but still, hokatoni yisrael shenasa mamzeres, v'yeshle och yisrael, so the Mishnah gives two different cases. A Yisrael who married a Mamzeres and has a brother, a regular Yisrael, and a Mamzer who married a Mamzeres who has a brother who's Yisrael. We didn't need to repeat both of those. Once we know that we're talking about in that this is the dinim of our Mishnah also apply to a Lava Shava Bakol, then it means it would apply to those as well. It didn't need to list every one of them, and yet it listed every one of them. So therefore, So it shows that the Mishnah is leaving out things. So yes, as long as the Mishnah is listing Yisurei Lavim, and it's even listing Yisurei Lavim, where there's no Chiddush in them, once we establish that it applies to Lava Shava Bako, then it didn't need to list every possible case with a Mamzer, and yet it does, then therefore we could say that the Mishnah, by the same token, could have mentioned Suadaka and didn't, and therefore, and obviously we know that the din applies to Suadaka. Therefore, we can say by the same token, the Mishnah could have mentioned the case of the Mitzri Sheni and Mitzri Shlishi, and it didn't, not because it doesn't hold of it, but because of Tana V'Shaya. So Shmamina, so that proves it. So we can't say that the Mishnah contradicts Rav Dimi. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.